Welcome back, and joining us now is Gerald Celente, Trends Journal. You can find it at trendsjournal.com. And of course, we've been talking all through this week about how Gerald called it with commercial real estate, how he called it with the collapse of medium and full banks. And, you know, now they're talking about that themselves. And, you know, you got Powell, head of the Fed, just blows it off, says, oh, yeah, the big banks are fine. That's all we really care about. But there's something else that is breaking at Trends Journal, and I'll let Gerald tell you about it. It truly is amazing what is happening, but I guess, unfortunately, as amazing as it is, it's not surprising, is it, Gerald? Thank you for joining us. Tell us what's going on there at Trends Journal and what the cover is about.
Well, the cover says, I'll kill you, Goyim Italian, you know, on and on about because I'm for peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a show on actually InfoWars on Monday. I host an hour, and I read that the Polish prime minister, this guy Tusk, said that basically the era of peace is over, and quote, we're in a pre-war era. And I said, who's this little clown to say we're in a pre-war era? And by the way, the Polish is building their military bigger than everybody else in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I get this guy, after I got off the air, he called my office 10 times, cursing, screaming, he's going to kill me. I can't read the language, but I'll give you just a... You keep talking SH about Polish, I'm going to skin you alive and wear your face, tranny, Italian, T-girl, F'd by black guys.
Wow.
I will kill you.
Wow. Wow.
And it goes on. And Goyim Italian, T-girl, I'll destroy your... Any going on. And of course, I'm not... I love women. And but anyway...
Wow.
My lawyer said, call the FBI. Actually, Judge Andrew Napolitano said the same thing. I do a podcast with him every Wednesday. You could see it on the Gerald Celente or Trends Journal channel. And I called the FBI, and they basically blew me off. And they reported it to the state police.
Wow.
Now, this happened a week ago Monday. The state police calls me up Tuesday night and said, well, come here on Friday. I said, Friday? I said, I get these death threats. Sending him the emails. Well, I'm off, the guy said. I'll be back Friday. I'll be there at 7 o'clock at night. All right. 7 o'clock at night, Friday never shows up. Comes on Saturday night. It was like a Keystone Cop, a little boy with the hat on like this, you know. It was a joke. Oh, by the way, I know the guy that ran he was the assistant DA of Ulster County. I contacted him. He ran for office. I gave him money. When he ran for office, he lost. I said, listen, when you contact the DA on this, he said, oh, this is terrible. I'll contact him right away. Email back and forth four times. He said, I keep calling. Yeah, they're going to be on. DA never got back to me. Because they hate me. I wrote back, I said, and I said this to the cop too. I said, okay, what are you going to do? He said, well, we're going to put the report in and then we're going to send it to the DA. I said, the DA is not getting back to me. I said, how long is this going to take? He said, well, it may take a few weeks to a month. I said, I could be dead in 2 days. I could be dead tomorrow. Somebody trying to kill me.
Wow.
I said, if my name was Celentowicz and this guy called me a Jewish P-R-I, yeah, and use this language, and rather than calling me an Italian and call me Jewish, you guys would be on in a second. But I'm just a little guinea. I'm a wop from the Bronx. I don't count.
Yeah, it'd be a national story, too.
Yeah, I'm a national figure.
Yeah.
I'm not like, you know, screw you, Celente. We hate you. Yeah. You know why we hate you? Because of what you were saying before about all our money going to the military-industrial complex. I launched Occupy Peace. I fight for peace. I'm a warrior for the Prince of Peace. You lousy piece of crap. You little giddy bastard. You have no right fighting for peace. You're an anti-Semite. You don't support genocide. You're a piece of scum. We'll kill you.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
They asked me how I'm feeling. That's how I'm feeling. And I would love for this guy to come in here. I'll blow his brains out.
Wow.
I'll blow him to pieces. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Just to make it clear. Mm. And as you well know, I had my own school. I taught close combat for a lot of years. And I'm armed. Mm-hmm. So come on. Come on.
Wow. Yeah, you can never tell what these people are going to do, you know?
Nothing. Oh, by the way.
Well, I mean the other guy that's sending you the threats. You never can tell what these. Sometimes it's just, you know, a bunch of talk and everything. But, you know, that sounds very unbalanced. And you never know what these people are going to do.
This guy's whacked out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just reading some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goyim Italian tea girl. I'll destroy your hole. Polish DIC up your Italian tea girl. I'll skin you, I'll wear your face. He goes on and on.
Wow.
So we tracked the guy down, by the way.
Mm.
He happens to be Jewish, and he lives in Florida.
Mm.
And they won't do anything. So I got my private guys out there on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But the FBI, F you, Salenti.
Well, of course, if you went to Florida and you said anything to him, that would be a hate speech.
Yeah.
If you were to say to him.
That's what we wrote in the Trends Journal, by the way.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. But that, if I did this as an Italian to a Jew, it would be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Calling you Goyim. We got to have a term for you. I guess that's an anti-Caucasian term, right?
Yeah.
Instead of anti-Semitic term. It is, but this is a hallmark. This is what our government has become. You look at the double standard for everything. Yep. They will send somebody to jail for years for jaywalking, but somebody else does murder threats. They won't do anything at all. They won't even look at it. We see that happening with the pro-life centers and the crisis pregnancy centers. Arson. Not just graffiti, but arson, and the FBI doesn't even want to look at it, right?
Again, the guy goes, Italian tranny, I'll and kill you, weak.
Mm.
Yeah, mm. I'll kill you. Three times he says, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
In three emails.
Wow.
Calls up 10 times, screw you, Salenti, we hate you. You're a warrior for the Prince of Peace. We hate you.
Wow.
Look what's going on over there with the slaughter of the Palestinians in front of everybody's eyes. Look at this, what's going on. Where's the outrage? And you got that little slime ball piece of crap bringing Netanyahu over here that's a little Mike Johnson, a little boy of nothing.
Johnson. Oh, yeah.
Johnson. Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you said, look at, they call this a democracy. Well, we got a choice between Trump and Biden and the hundreds of millions and billions of dollars being put into their campaign by the private equity groups and all the rich people. What America democracy? Grow up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, his lawyer, Lena Habe, just said that Trump's open to, he'll accept cash from foreign sources. he needs to get himself a new lawyer if he's really serious about any of this stuff. But she's out there saying, oh, yeah, he'll take money from foreign sources. He'll take it from anybody. Anybody want to give him some money, he'll take it. But that's the way they all are, and they don't even care anymore. You know, they don't even care. Biden doesn't try to hide his crimes. Trump doesn't try to hide his crimes. They're proud of killing people with the jab. They're proud of killing people in other countries with their wars. They're absolutely shameless in what they do.
Shameless.
Yeah.
Look at Trump is just a little narcissistic boy, a little daddy's boy.
Yeah.
You know, I had lunch with his brother, Robert Trump, back in 2017. And he has a place not far from here, a restaurant. Anyway, they funding, he died anyway. Mm-hmm. And he had all these pictures of, you know, the family all over the place. Trump got like what, about $500 million from his father when he died of worth of real estate and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's a little daddy's boy. Mm-hmm. We're the same age. So the greatest threat, I wrote about it in my book, When Zizzy Gave Honey Boy, which my favorite book of everything I've written. Zizzy is a Neapolitan dialect for auntie. When I was a little kid, I grew up in the Bronx, and they couldn't control us, you know. And the thing was, your little SOB, we had enough of your stuff, me and my brothers, with sending you to military school. That was the greatest threat. We're going to go to military school. And my mother, you know, cooking this fine Italian food, you know. We'll be good. Trump was so arrogant, this rich kid, they sent him to military school, Cornwall, New York. It's about an hour south of Kingston over here, in the middle of nowhere. So here you are as a teenager. What are you thinking about? You're thinking about girls, cars, sports. Mm-hmm. Here he is. They sent him away because he's such an arrogant, narcissistic boy, dressed in his military drag in the middle of nowhere and eating crap food every day and saluting. So that shows you what a narcissistic clown this guy is.
Maybe now we understand why he put so many generals all around him. Because he wanted them saluting him for a change, right?
Get even. Yeah. And by the way, did you see what his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, said about Gaza?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oceanfront property. Let's clear them out of there as quick as possible, right?
Yeah. And Netanyahu used to stay at the Kushner's house.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's got a couple of billion dollars. I'm surprised that Jared's not out of that Saudi deal, right? I'm surprised he's not helping his father-in-law with this New York situation. He's flush with cash, isn't he?
What it is. You know, like George Carlin said, it's one big club and you ain't in it.
That's right.
It's all it is. The private equity groups own everything in this country. You know, I wrote in my book, Trends 2000. This was an international bestseller. It came out in 96. And I wrote about how the private equity group thing began. And it began with RJR Nabisco. And this arrogant guy, that was the beginning of it. And then the guy, they put him at the head of IBM, and he closed down all the IBM up here in Kingston. The city went down for a big, long time. Didn't start coming back until, you know, in the middle of 2014, around there, 15. Mm-hmm. By the way, over 80,000 people have left New York City so far this year. And they're moving up here like crazy. I never saw so many kids, young people with little kids in strollers all over the place. Mm. It's getting out of New York City is a hellhole.
Yeah.
And what nobody's talking about, you brought it up, is the banking crisis that's about to happen. Mm-hmm. Your office vacancy rate, meaning nobody in the buildings in New York City that is filled with homeless and migrants, is 23%. 23% of the office buildings in New York City are empty. Empty. Your office occupancy rate is around 49%, meaning people going back to work. It used to be like almost 100%. Now, all the businesses that depended on commuters, they're going out of business. Is going to be, again, it's in your Trends Journal this week. The latest data is showing 282 banks are facing commercial real estate stress.
Wow.
It's barely being reported.
And it's probably more than that. I heard somebody when they were talking about this back and forth, I don't know who threw the number out, but it was somebody, I don't remember, when I covered it earlier in the week. Somebody said 500 banks. And, you know, Powell is just saying, well, it's not the big banks. It's manageable, I guess is what we would say, manageable. Yeah, we don't really care as long as it's not our dirty half dozen, you know, that we work with all the time.
And by the way, people, if they want to get good information, of course, the Trends Journal, But on the banking situation, Wall Street on Parade. Ever gone there? Russ and Pam Martins.
They
Wall Street on Parade has the best banking information than anybody that I've seen. And they call it out straight what a crime syndicate it is.
Yeah.
And again, a crime syndicate. What is J.P. Morgan Chase convicted of five felonies.
Yeah. And they're not the only one. You know, HSBC, I remember when Matt Taibbi, back when he was working with Rolling Stone, he did an article about HSBC and how they're working with the Sinaloa cartel. They gave them their own cash window because they were coming in with wheelbarrows full of cash. I mean, this is not the Weimar Republic, but they still had wheelbarrows of cash at that point in time. You know, and how they worked with them and how they kept. And I remember a guy that I talked to that was a whistleblower. And he was the second wave. They caught him. They put him on probation, like Animal House, double secret probation, whatever, gave him a small fine. And then they hired a bunch of people. His name was Everett Stern, if I remember correctly. And he was that wave of people. They hired a bunch of people who had absolutely no background in this to monitor what HSBC was doing to make sure they weren't sending money to drug cartels and terrorists. And what he discovered, he took his job seriously. He said they paid us a tremendous amount of money. Most of the people just came in. They were content to do nothing. But he took it seriously. So he's like a junior G-man type of thing. He starts looking through the files, and he finds that they've got these files that have certain keywords about places and groups and individuals. But they would do things like put a period after it or a space somewhere in the middle of it or something like that so that they wouldn't find a match. And he reported that. They got fined again, and he became a whistleblower, but nothing ever happened. I mean, this is the banks doing this kind of stuff all the time.
No, it's a disgrace. Yeah. It's a disgrace. And again, it's a crime syndicate.
Yeah.
That's all it is that people call a government.
You know, we talked a lot about commercial real estate earlier today, and you mentioned private equity companies earlier today. I was talking about the fact that they just did a study. The media has been telling us, well, you know, we know that there's a lot of these private equity companies are buying single-family detached homes at a big rate. You know, let's say about 18 to 23% was what they were saying. They said, well, we looked at it, and it's actually 44%. And they were saying that they were going to get it up to, before long, it would be up to 60%. But it's already more than double what they were saying it was. This is also a very dire consequence that's about to break onto our heads. The fact that these companies will grab these single family homes, who knows what they're going to do with it, make it so expensive we can't live in them, or pump and dump them and build, part of these, make people go live in the, not develop again, but make people have to go and live in these smart cities that they're designing. Who knows what they're going to do with it?
Again, this happened, all this began with the panic of 08.
Yes, yes.
And Blackstone is the biggest one over there. They're buying up everything, screwing the people. And that guy Mnuchin, what did that bank that he used to run over there that foreclosed on people, and it was allegedly a crime what he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, now he,
Trump's Treasury Secretary.
That was Trump's... Treasury Secretary?
Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah.
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 That picture that they show him and his wife when he goes to the, where they're printing the big sheets of money, and his wife, he probably did hire. But he married a woman who's a real fashion model or an actress or something. She's sitting there holding this sheet of dollar bills and Steve Mnuchin there. As a matter of fact, somebody was talking about the fact that he was the one who proposed banning TikTok, and now he's trying to put together a group to buy it. I guess a fire sale price, you know?
Matter of fact, there's an article in this week's Trends Journal about the banning of TikTok, and you know who's behind it?
Who's that?
Not coming from me, from the Times of Israel. The Jewish AIPAC and all the other Jewish groups in America. Because TikTok is spreading anti-Semitism. Oh, you mean anti-Semitism is opposing genocide. You're an anti-Semite if you oppose genocide. So it's right, not from, so you can't call me an anti-Semite. It's coming from the Times of Israel. We did a big article on it. That's who's pushing the banning of TikTok. Nothing to do with China.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, they pushed the hate speech laws that would put people in jail in Florida. DeSantis went to Israel to sign it. Now we just had Kristi Noem do the same thing. It's like, do they not even care that people are going to associate them with the most rabid censorship, the most vile, repudiation of the First Amendment, making it a crime to say certain things? I mean, the appropriate response to hate speech is more speech. As somebody said, it may be awful, but it's lawful unless you don't have a First Amendment, right?
They don't care.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't. They don't care. That little clown's DeSantis. I mean, look at the jerk. Yeah. Again, all they want is the money.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Florida has a heavy Jewish population. He wants their votes. End of story. Mm-hmm. Here, Trump condemns Jews backing Democrats. Did you see that one?
Mm, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah. He goes, he said, any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. A few hours later, his campaign repeated the charge, declaring that, quote, Trump is right, and that is the Democratic Party has turned into a full-blown anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-terrorist cabal. This is the Trump that got $100 million from Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah.
This is the Trump that moved the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This is the Trump that said to Israel, hey, you know that land you stole in the Golan Heights from Syria? It's yours. That's the Trump. Oh, and again, Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
His son-in-law. Get him out of there. We're going to, you know.
And, of course, he pardoned Kushner's dad, but also some of the biggest white-collar criminals out there, while he let a lot of people who were real political prisoners, everybody talking about Donald Trump and how he's being persecuted by Biden, and, of course, he is. They are using weaponized persecution against him. But he allowed that to happen to a lot of people and did absolutely nothing, not just the high-profile cases of Julian Assange, but a lot of people who were American patriots that he let rot in jail while he's putting out the biggest white-collar criminals because they're pals and buddies of his corrupt son-in-law.
Yep.
Just amazing. Yep. Just amazing. I want to look at this stuff that's between Biden and Trump, and it's like, you know. And whenever I talk about Trump, you know, people send me hate mail. Me, I don't get the kind of stuff yet that you've gotten, but I get hate mail about that as well.
No, I do too. Every time I come out against Trump.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I believed him at first. I didn't know he'd lie that like that. Here.
Well, I kind of suspected he would based on his history of wives. I mean, it's one thing to have divorce today. That's become a common thing. But it's not a common thing to mock them, to drag them through the mud publicly like he did. But of course, he did that with everybody in his cabinet as president, you know. But when I knew that history of his. We were just talking about it the other day with my wife back when we had the video stores. I think it's in the 90s. They had the first wives club, and it was because of the way that he trashed his first wife. They even had her in a guest appearance kind of thing on it, you know. And it was truly astounding to see somebody it's one thing to leave your wife or whatever, but then to publicly be proud of it that way and to attack them that way, it spoke about the lowest character you could imagine. So I kind of figured that he was going to do that, but of course we didn't know, and we knew who Hillary was, as Julian Assange said. We know she's a criminal and a warmonger. We'll have to see what Trump is. Well, now we know he is, too. So it's they're all part of that club, as you said.
You know, when he ran for office, I took out I owned the trademark, Presidential Reality Show.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That's what it is.
And that's what he played. He played it as a reality show. That's all his life is. By the way, here's an article from, I was mentioning Wall Street on Parade. This came out yesterday. More failed banks and office building demolitions likely before real estate problems, and warned two federal agencies. You know when they warned this? It just came out last June.
Wow.
Yeah. The health The commercial real estate office sector is not only measured by the amount of space leased and rent paid today, but also by how much space will be required in the future. This is the way they write. In addition to space available for sublease, we can estimate the amount of space currently occupied by employees by measuring card swipes using the Castleback of to work barometer. Unfortunately, future demand for office space appears weak. And that's the language they use. Mm. Appears weak. You have a 20 on the 10 biggest cities in New York. The average vacancy rate is 20%. Mm. Mm. You go to places like San Francisco, you're looking 30-40%.
Wow.
And again, your office occupancy rate of the 10 biggest cities is only around 50%. So they're just reporting this now. And it's going to become a lot worse. Here we go. This is also important. Do you know how much the prices of commercial real estate offices have fallen this year?
How much?
35%.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
35%. Now, these are revolving loans that they have. They pay on their interest only.
Yeah.
And now you have interest rates high. You have less tenants. You don't have the money coming in to pay this thing. There's going to be a banking crisis, the likes of which we've never seen in modern history.
Mm.
And they're not reporting this at all. They're not reporting on the office building bust. It barely could you find anything about it. If it comes, it comes and goes like that. Mm-hmm. Again, we go through all the media every day, the team, and barely is there a word mentioned. And when it is, it's like on, you know, page, you know, B16 or something. Well, there's not even 16 pages. That's I'm exaggerating to a newspaper anymore. They're so thin now.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we talk about dropping 35%. People think about this. I don't know what the average, or the median family house is, let's say 300,000 is probably in that neighborhood. And so imagine, you know, if you got a $300,000 home and all of a sudden now it's worth 200,000 and you know, you need a place to live, but these people who are commercial real estate, they just walk away from it. The person who's going to take the loss is going to be the bank. And they're the ones who took that loss. And that's what's going to cause all these banks to start rapidly failing everywhere.
And you had mentioned the arrogant, oh, by the way, you know what Powell's last job was before he became Fed head?
What was that?
He was the private equity group, the Carlyle group.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's just running the country, the private equity groups.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the quote that you were talking about. He said, quote, there will be bank failures, but as you said, but this is not the big banks.
So we don't care.
If you look at the very big banks, this is not a first order issue for any of the very large banks. It's more smaller and medium sized banks that have these issues. So basically screw them.
Yeah.
We're only interested in the Goldman Sachs gang, the Merrill Lynch mob. You know, that's all we're concerned about.
Yeah.
You know, the JP Morgan Chase, felony group.
Well, the people who are going to work with them in order to, you know, put in a CBDC or whatever, you know, the dirty half dozen who will, you know, whenever these small banks die, they'll be the ones to come in and pick the bones and take what they like and throw the rest of the stuff away. So it's going to be great for them. For the very large banks, it's going to be a windfall profit.
Yep.
It's like we saw before.
No, this is serious and nobody's reporting it. And it goes back again. One of the top trends, well, a number of them, but two of the top trends for this year is banking bust and a golden year for gold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gold is up now $161 from when we said it would go up. It was up to more than that of just a couple of days ago. It had broke over, what, $2,200.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now it's come back down a bit. But goes back to this, the people that understand what's going on with the Israel war, with the Ukraine war, with the banks going bust, mm-hmm. they see the future. and they're buying gold. And China, by the way, is becoming one of the biggest gold buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. It's very simple. They're going to be lowering interest rates, the Fed, in the run-up to the presidential reality show, because they want Janet Yellen, the former Fed head that's now our Treasury Secretary, to keep running this show. It shows you the Federal Reserve right in front of our eyes, being that who the Treasury Secretary is running the country's finances.
Yeah.
They're going to lower interest rates to boost the economy. That line that they used to say back in 1992 when Clinton was running behind the scenes, quote, "It's the economy, stupid."
Mm-hmm.
That's all the people care about.
That's right.
They're going to do everything they can to pump up the economy. That means they're going to lower interest rates. The lower interest rates go, the deeper the dollar falls. The deeper the dollar falls, the higher gold prices go.
Yeah.
And that's what we see happening this year. And going back to World War III, again, we've been writing about this the 2 years, that we said right before the war started, before Russia invaded Ukraine, there's no way in the world that Ukraine's going to beat Russia. If, you know, Napoleon left with, what, 420,000 troops out of Poland to attack Moscow and only came back with 10,000.
That's right.
Hitler launched Operation Barbarossa, killed over 25 million Russians. And they were the first to defeat the Germans. Mm-hmm. What makes you think Ukraine's going to beat them?
Mm-hmm.
So he said what's going to happen is as they keep losing, they're going to ramp up escalation against Russia. They're going to do things, as we said, blow up nuclear power plants, oil depots. We've said this going back week after week, month after month, year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're blowing up Russian oil depots. The Israelis blew up three of them in Iran,
mm-hmm.
big ones. Going back to gold, they're going to drive the price of oil up. You saw oil almost hit $90 a barrel this week. It came back down. It's around $86 a barrel now for Brent crude. This escalates, you're going to see Brent crude go to around $130 a barrel. And that's going to crash the global economy and the equity markets. Mm. But don't worry about it. When all else fails, they take you to war.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you listen to what they're saying, and again, he's coming not from me, from their words, they're saying that the the NATO member states are preparing to put their economies, quote, on a military track, Latvian Foreign Minister Harns told Deutsche Welle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one after another. One after another. They're all ramping up, going to war. And I, as I said, I got EU looks to sidestep ban on buying arms.
German prime minister is lecturing Macron, saying, we're not at war with Russia. It's like, yeah, keep telling yourself that. But, you know, Macron is really pushing it hard in France, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
French army ready for war, top general. France, it's right here.
They haven't done too well in their wars.
No. Here's another one.
This is not good. Yeah. They're our ally in this one, and we're up against Russia. But we got France on our side. There we go. That's some.
Yeah. Western troops in Ukraine, an open secret. This is from Polish Prime Minister Sikorski. He said, there are already some troops from big countries in Ukraine.
Yeah. And they got troops, they're saying, in Taiwan as well. I mean, they're just doing this everywhere. But let me go back to something you said earlier. You were talking about attacks on critical infrastructure. And I've seen several things in the news this week that were featured by mainstream media saying, we've had some attacks on our water infrastructure. It's like, really? It's the first I've seen of this. And if you read the details of it, and I talked about this yesterday or the day before, they're saying, well, you know, there were these cyber attacks, and they came from Iran. And not only that, but we know it came from this group inside of Iran, the Revolutionary Guard or whatever. It's like, you don't know any of that stuff. You think we were born yesterday? We know about Vault 7, and we know that you created this so that you could look like anybody that you wanted to look like. You could look like the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, whoever. But now that's also out in the wild, and so every government can look like anyone that they wish, and even private hackers can look like that. So you want to tell us that you know precisely who this is? That's total nonsense. That's their narrative. But then they go on to say this happened at a time when local water places were in a fight with the federal government over some control. So I thought, well, you know, we never heard anything about that. There was never any disruption, but they're laying the groundwork for this kind of stuff. And if they're going after the infrastructure of Russia, I could imagine that they may do something here as well for people to be on the lookout for and to prepare in advance, you know, water and things like that. But they may pull something like that here and say, well, yeah, it's the Russians who did it because there's That's this right. back and forth on infrastructure.
You're right.
Yeah.
Again, as I said, German aid to boost Kyiv's artillery stocks. This is Financial Times. Yeah, and this little garçon Macron, what's his name? The guy, the Manchin.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Manchin from West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You ready? We can't let Ukraine go through this. If it comes through the spring and we haven't helped Ukraine, God help us. What God are you talking about?
Yeah.
He goes on to say, that will be the worst atrocity in history that your children and grandchildren be reading about that we have done.
Wow. Wow. Of course, he's not going to anything
worst
about the
atrocity
border, is he?
In history? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
these little warmongering freaks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it truly is amazing. And they won't do a thing about the border. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse.
It's just disgusting.
Yeah. And we get this guy now who he had 300,000 followers before he did this thing telling people how to be a squatter. Now he's got 500,000. I said, you know, that's the perfect metaphor for what's going on, isn't it? Squatters. We need to not argue about whether they're going to be called illegals or migrants. We need to just call them squatters because that's really what this is. Now he goes from 300,000 to 500,000. He's bragging about how he makes a living using his anchor baby to, you know, get on welfare and all the rest of the stuff. Now he says, now we got a new game. We can be squatters. And yet not, these people are so focused on their foreign wars as the barbarians are coming through the gates, literally in El Paso yesterday. So truly is amazing, isn't it?
It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, now check this out, right? America, haven't won a war since World War II. Are you going to fight the Russians and the Chinese and you can't stop people from coming over your border?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
And by the way, as you well know, because you've spoken at my rallies, the number one point of Occupy Peace that I launched over a decade ago is close all the bases overseas.
Yes.
And bring home the troops to secure the homeland.
That's right.
Simple as that.
That's right.
Yeah. Simple as that.
That's right.
Go to hell, Salenti. What are you talking about? We got to be over there in Sudan. What's wrong with you? We got to get ISISs.
Yeah, I was saying that in 2017. I said, you know, Trump says he's going to end the war in Afghanistan, bring the troops home, all the rest of this. I said, do it. Put them on the border, you know, as a deterrent. You got two of your campaign promises done there. But, you know, I said he's not going to do it. And so, you know, people didn't like that when I said, give him a break. He's fighting the deep state. He doesn't know how to do it. And all the rest.
The deep state. Yeah. Who did he bring in as the defense secretary?
Yeah.
Madman.
Mattis. Yeah. Mad Dog Mattis. Yeah.
Mad Dog Mattis.
Yeah.
An arrogant, murderous little clown.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a plan. He says you go into a room, you get a plan to kill everybody in the room. That's why they called him Mad Dog. I mean, it's,
yeah. And who did he bring in as the CIA head? That woman.
Oh yeah, the same one that run the torture program, Gina Haspel.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, what did they call her? They had a name for her.
I had a name for her, but I didn't say it on there. But she was the one who ran the torture program. She was the one who covered up the torture program. And of course, she gets promoted to the head of the CIA, John Kiriakou, who blew the whistle on it. He goes to jail.
Yeah. Yeah. They had a funny name for her about because of how she loved torture so much. But that's Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, there's another art, you know, they just came out with this study. Again, when we were young people, people from all over the world wanted to come to America because of what the country was. Now the latest ranking, we're number 23 in happiness.
Yeah.
Mm. 23. Mm. It's misery out there.
You know, this last week, I talked to a guy, he's a Navy SEAL. He grew up in Poland, and he would listen secretly under the pillow to a Radio for Europe, and I always wanted to come to America. And he came to America, and then after 9/11, he wanted to do something, he thought, for the country, so he signs up for the military, and even though he's like in his late 30s, he became a SEAL, and he did that for a few years, and then became a SEAL instructor. But, you know, you see people like that, as you're talking about, who love America and the liberty and the freedom, and always, you know, wanted to come to America, start his own business, would fight, would die for it, versus these people like this squatter, you know, coming across who just wants to grift off of us. It just is such a contrast to see that. And it's such a disguise. His name is Drago Dazarian, but, you know, he wrote a book, My Pledge to America, and it was, and he's a real patriot, and he's a real idealist. But that's not what's happening in America now. That's a very different type of immigrant that we've had, that we've got now than we used to have. They're coming for the free stuff, not for the freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, the people losing the bigger picture. Why are these people flooding out of their countries?
Yeah.
How about the COVID war?
Mm-hmm.
How about the again, no one's talking about why we're having the banking crisis, because they locked down everything, forced people to work at home.
Yeah.
And people are saying, I was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to travel an hour and a half each way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I was destroying my life like this. So I'm not going to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the guy that has 10 stories in a building. And I'm saying, I never see these people who are rolling cubicles. What the hell do I care if they work at home or here? I don't need all the space. I'll save myself money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no one, now let's go back. They destroyed the damage of the COVID war, destroyed the lives and livelihoods of billions of people across the planet. The damage is incalculable economically, physically, spiritually, psychologically. The damage is beyond again, there was no thing like this, the thefts going on now and the things like you were talking about before. It wasn't happening before this.
That's right.
So what they're not talking about is, why are all these people fleeing? Because lack of basic living standards, government corruption, crime, and violence. Would you want to leave? Would you do everything you can to get the hell out of there?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got a massive welfare magnet. And money is no object. We got the modern monetary theory. It's now normalized that we're going to spend another $1 trillion that we don't have about every 100 days. So,
every 100 days.
Yeah. So it's not a problem. Hey, come on in. The money is free flowing, you know, the roaring 20s is what we're looking at here. Let me ask you about this. You mentioned earlier about, you know, the private equity companies and some of the other things. What do you think about this, the fact that we've got all this tokenization happening, that BlackRock is jumping into this, poured a bunch of money into it, the ETF, even for Bitcoin? I mean, what do you need an ETF for Bitcoin for? I mean, you can buy it in any denomination. I mean, I don't like derivatives. I think they're risky, you know, but when you look at something like gold, it might cost you a lot, depending on who you deal with. Maybe you couldn't get a small amount, to get an ETF with that, it seemed to me like, and just like to get your take on it. Why are they doing that with cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin?
Because they're trying to make money off it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Well, true.
And and the ETFs aren't working because the price of Bitcoin's, you know, falling, you know, mm-hmm. quite substantially. So the ETF thing, it didn't play out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if there was no Bitcoin, gold prices would be double what they are or more. So you were mentioning people can't afford to buy gold.
Mm-hmm.
So Argentina, Turkey, we have these ridiculously high inflation rates. The people are watching their currency being devalued in front of their eyes instead of trying to buy, you know, to buy a little bit of Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, we're going to be going digital.
Yeah.
You mentioned about, what is it, $1 trillion every 100 days, increasing the debt level. They're going to make up something like the Russians hacked our banking system and all the money's gone, but don't worry about it. We came out with a new coin. And mm-hmm. the young people, this is their lives. Mm-hmm. They don't care about going digital. They live it already.
Yes. Yes. And so it is preparing them for that. You know, look at this, and it's a preparation process that's there. And of course, you know, like I said about gold, I just put in a little plug here for Tony. Tony Artiman at Wise Wolf Gold, you don't have to worry about it at any, you can get it in a small amount as well, but most people can't. And when you look at what is happening, I don't know if you saw this last week or not, Gerald, but Tom Emmer, who is allied with the crypto industry against CBDC, at least that's the way it's lined up. So he's opposing these people who are trying to push CBDC through because they're talking about banning crypto. But he showed how, as Powell was on talking to the Senate and saying, oh, no, we got no plans to do CBDC. He said the Federal Reserve staff dropped off to Congress a thing showing 7 key duties. And number 6 and 7 were FedNow, their wholesale version of the cryptocurrency. And the 7th one was CBDC. They even wrote it down that way. And so, I mean, they're working on this. They're going to impose it. They're getting people accustomed to using, working with digital payments and that type of thing. Visa's out there pushing biometric stuff. They're working with grocery stores. They're working with all the major sporting events so that you got to get a face scan to get into a baseball game or a football game. The NFL is going to be doing it in a lot of different venues this next year. So they're getting everybody accustomed to biometric scans. They're getting people accustomed to soldiers on the subway, digital money, all the rest of the stuff that we know they've been working on for a very long time. They're rolling it out in the same way that, you know, Trump rolled out the stimulus checks to get people accustomed to UBI. Truly is amazing. I mean, these people have their plans long in advance, and they do it very, very gradually.
Yeah, like, I mean, could you imagine? You know, I remember, I grew up in the Bronx, you know, Yankee fan. We used to go to the games when I was like a teenager, and we'd get dressed. Everybody was dressed. We'd be dressed up with little suitcases and have 7-ounce bottles of beer in there with ice. And we go in, they didn't frisk you, any of that kind of stuff back then.
Yeah.
They didn't frisk you when you go into an airport.
Yeah.
They didn't, before 9/11, when you went into an office building, you didn't have to show any proof. You just walk in.
Yes.
Everything's changed. And again, the guys with guns in the subway now with these, you know, what are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, look, on the subway, how about a night in Calcutta?
Yeah.
Look what these filthy, dirty pieces of crap. And you look at this, you look at the train systems in Europe and Japan and China and the crap that we got in this country. This country's going down in front of our face. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about a lot of important things, but we haven't talked about Taylor Swift. I haven't heard about
her. Yeah. That's thankfully now the football season has ended. We've had a little bit of a rest with that, but I think she's got some tour or something going on. Well, we could talk about the royal family, you know, the health of the royal family.
They're royal. They don't pee and they don't poo. They're royal. They're better than you. You know, what a bunch of crap. Oh, you mean the royal family? Again, all things connected. That through the Rothschild gang came up with the Balfour Declaration in 1917 that, quote, His Majesty's government declares that the Jewish people can settle in Palestine and we will use our best endeavors to achieve this objective. Hey, you mean the murderous gang over there where the sun never sets on the British Empire? Who are you to say what should be going on over there? Oh, We just conquered it. We'll do whatever we want. The Rothschilds are paying us for this.
That's right. Yeah, and it was Wilbur Ross who was going back and looking at Trump's casino bankruptcies. You know, when he went bankrupt the first time because he borrowed like $685 million in the 90s at 14% interest rate. And so he gets Wilbur Ross comes in from the Rothschilds, who he later put in as commerce secretary. And Wilbur Ross looks at him and goes up there to, you know, check this guy. Didn't know who he was or whatever. But he sees all of these people around Trump's limousine. And he said later, he goes, I think we can do something with that. You know, just like you're talking about, reality TV show, you know?
Yep.
That's what it is. And he was quick to spot it. And they've had their hooks into Trump from day one, going back into the 90s. It truly is amazing when you look at this stuff. These people think long term, don't they? Truly is amazing.
Yes and no. You know, they're only interested in themselves. And the long term is, how could I keep making more money stealing it from the people?
Yeah. That's right.
And that's their only concern. You know, we're the billionaires, not a penny for peace.
Yeah.
Not a word coming out of Musk's mouth or anybody else's.
That's right.
Not a penny for peace. You know, we're struggling with Occupy Peace, trying to raise money to put on more, you know, to get this thing moving in a big direction. And we get such little support.
Yes.
And people don't care. But hey, but don't forget to donate to the Trump campaign.
That's right. Yeah, donate to his lawyers, you know, for his legal expenses. When is your next Occupy Peace?
We don't know. You know, we're trying to put it together. And of course, I'll let you know because I'd love to have you here. But I wanted, you know, to show you how bad things are. There was an article, I was looking for it here, about India. It's like, he said like 1% of the people own 43% of the wealth of the nation. And it was like a big, here it is. India tops 1%. Yeah. India's top 1% holds 40% of country's wealth. 1% on 40%. This is a big story from Reuters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. 1% on 54% of the U.S. equity markets.
Yeah.
1%.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking when you said that, what is our number? I thought it was higher than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And globally, the 1% owned 43% of all the private equity markets.
Mm. Mm.
1%.
Yeah.
And they give nothing to peace.
That's right.
Or anything to elevate humanity.
Well, they thrive off of the chaos. That's how they get their profits and their control. They like the chaos. Yep. They don't want peace. They want more chaos.
Yep.
Absolutely true. Yeah, they want
to. So anyway, gold is, to me, you know, the number one investment. I gamble with Bitcoin. Silver, number three. Silver prices should be much higher, but for some reason, they're not going up.
Yeah.
I bought silver back, I think, like in the 80s or 90s. I forget when. 2000s, but anyway, like 2000 at $40 an ounce, and now it's like $25 an ounce, 24 and change.
Mm-hmm.
But my first buy of gold was in the late 1970s at $187.63 an ounce.
Well, there you go. That's a home run.
Yeah. And gold prices have gone up 600% since the beginning of the millennium.
Wow. Wow.
So to me, it's the number one safe haven asset. And again, in your Trends Journal, there are no advertisements. Nobody tells us what to do. So we don't give financial advice. We say, this is what we see. This is our analysis. And here's where we see it going. Mm-hmm. So we're not promoting anybody here.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's an excellent publication. And folks, you can save 10% off if you use the code NIGHT. But, you know, that's the key thing. The other aspect of, because we're talking about CBDC, and it's not just... it's not just a hedge against inflation with gold, but it's also, you got to have something that is physical, like cash, that is outside of their system so that it is anonymous and all the rest of the stuff, because we're going to have to get outside of their digital system. That is a total trap that they're laying for everybody. So you got to have some way, some skills, some gold or silver, something like that, that you're going to have outside of their control system, or you really, really are in deep trouble if we don't have that. But skills
and
gold.
Go back to your Trends Journal over 4 years ago, from dirty cash to digital trash.
That's right. That's right.
They want to know every penny you spent, where you spent it, what you spent it on, so they get all the money they can in the name of taxes and have more control over you.
And stop it before you are able to spend money. As you're talking about, you know, people look at this massive consolidation of wealth. And we got Elizabeth Warren, who always likes to masquerade as a defender of the people, but she's a representative of the big banks, and she's out there with her wealth tax. And we know how that's going to go because we've seen how that went with the income tax. Oh, that's just for the really uber rich, right? That's going to be another way they get their hooks into people. And they've got an army of IRS agents out there to go collect anything they know about. That's why I say, you know, if you've got something that is outside of their system, that is the most important thing you could do at this point because of what they're planning with their digital control system.
The IRS head this week said they're looking to put 100,000 people into the IRS. 100,000 people to steal our money.
And you got this guy, Mike Johnson.
As the bigs don't pay any taxes at all.
That's right.
They got all the scams. They don't pay anything.
And you got this guy, Mike Johnson, who's supposed to be some conservative, and he's out there, you know, going to give them as much money as Biden wanted. I mean, not even to try to trim it a little bit like Kevin McCarthy did. It truly is amazing. Well, we're out of time. It's always great having you on, Gerald. Thank you so much. Trends Journal, again, the code NIGHT will save you 10%. And I want to thank Amos Poole. Thank you so much. That's a very generous tip. I appreciate that. So the vaccine has always been the weapon. That's right. Look at polio and cancer. And as Dr. McCullough said, they are willfully distracting you and they don't care. None of them care. Thank you for joining us, Gerald.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Let me tell you, the David Knight Show, you can listen to with your ears. You can even watch it by using your eyes. In fact, if you can hear me, that means you're listening to the David Knight Show right now. Yeah, good job. And you want to know something else? You can find all the links to everywhere to watch or listen to the show at thedavidknightshow.com. That's a website.